Amen. This is the fifth Sunday of Great Lent, and those who have been coming to church for a while are very accustomed to the fact that on the fifth Sunday of Great Lent, we commemorate Mary of Egypt, Saint Mary of Egypt. And we do this as a wake-up call, as a warning. It's Lent is almost over. It's never too late to repent. And the story of Mary of Egypt, Saint Mary of Egypt, is well known to many, should be known to all. She was a woman of ill repute from Alexandria who traveled to Jerusalem and was there for the Feast of the Holy Cross, attempted to enter the church, and she was, by unseen forces, unable to enter the church. And she recognized the depth of her sinfulness at that point, went in front of the icon of the Mother of God, repented, gained access to the church, and then fled to the desert where she lived the remainder of her life as a hermit monastic. And as the story of her life goes, she was encountered by a monk named Zosimus, who had gone into the desert as part of his monastery's spiritual discipline. He encountered Mary of Egypt, who recounted the whole story of her life to him. And she said, "Can you come back next year on Holy Thursday and bring me communion?" Which he did. And then she said, "Can you come back again next year?" And he came back next year, and she had reposed immediately, having received Holy Communion the year before. And this moving story, again, it's very obvious why the Church places it in front of us, because the time of Holy Week and Pascha is upon us. If we have not been serious about the business of repenting, this is the time to begin. Now, with that as a little bit of a background, I wanted to take an aside and actually work in what might be considered the introduction to this sermon. And as you know, or you may remember if you were in church several months ago, I preached about language and orthodoxy. Not language, what language you worship with or anything like that, but equating our faith to language. And we talked about the French language and talked about the pronunciation of the language and how it kind of correlates to the way we're supposed to live as Orthodox. You can go back and listen to that sermon. And if you want to learn more about how to pronounce French, if you're an English speaker, look up Gertie Metz on the web. She's extraordinary. She's one of my new internet friends. I only put that out because I'm going to talk about someone else whom I've encountered on the internet. And his name is Steve Kaufman. And Steve Kaufman, building on the work of Dr. Stephen Krashen, is a polyglot who produces lots of videos about how to learn language. His website, by the way, is LingQ, L-I-N-G-Q, if you want to look him up. It's worth it. And the theory behind Steve Kaufman's videos and Dr. Stephen Krashen's work is that we don't learn language by memorizing flashcards and memorizing grammar rules. And Stephen Krashen, the professor, uses the example of having been on sabbatical from his university in California, was out in New York City. And in the apartment next to him, there were always Japanese executives and their families. And he would make this great effort to teach the children English. And he'd go, "Good morning. This is a door." And they would just look at him. But then somehow the children would learn English. And they learned English how? Well, they were studying it in school, but more importantly, they were out playing with their American friends. And they were around English and around English and around English. And one day they just started talking, just the way little kids do. That's how all small children are. They're listening to the language of their mother from the time they're in the womb. And then all of a sudden, one day, they start speaking to us. And what Steve Kaufman it points out is, not only should this be a very natural process, learning language, but you can't just do it through rote memorization. He cites the work of somebody named Manfred Spitzer. I've only read a little bit about him. He's a neuroscientist, but he says, Manfred Spitzer says, the mind needs novelty and repetition. Yes, the mind needs repetition, but it needs novelty if we're going to learn things. And I think that's a great way to look at the lessons of this Sunday, both from the perspective of repetition and from novelty. Because we gather here every year on the fifth Sunday of Lent to hear the story of St. Mary of Egypt, to hear these scripture readings. They are repeated to us so that we can learn them better. And the, of the many lessons that we could glean from the life of Mary of Egypt, we would list these. Everyone has a guardian angel, and you should listen more to your guardian angel. I should listen more to my guardian angel. And how often in life have we been on the verge of saying or doing something where circumstances just stopped us? And if we're wise, we say, oh, I'm glad that happened. I shouldn't be saying that. If we're unwise, we ignore our guardian angel. But we all have guardian angels. St. Mary of Egypt reminds us that everyone can repent. No one is beyond hope. No one is beyond hope. That's important. No matter how ashamed anyone is of his or her sins, it doesn't matter. Jesus can heal you. Mary of Egypt reminds us that we shouldn't judge other people. I'm sure if she were in our midst today, before she had had her experience of repentance, we would look with her perhaps with a bit of disdain or contempt. How wrong that would be, because her repentance made it possible for her to become a saint. So people who are mired in sin have great potential to be saint and know God's grace, even more than people who are living righteous lives even at this present moment. And that is an ancient teaching of the church, but also one that's relatively modern. If you've read any C.S. Lewis, he talks about this a good bit. Well, there's more to say about Mary of Egypt, but let's do some more repetition with regard to this morning's epistle reading. St. Paul, in his letter to the Hebrews, says this, for if the sprinkling, he's talking about the Old Testament sacrifice, if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The blood of Christ. Now we hear those terms sometimes as Orthodox Christians, the blood of Christ, and we back off a little bit because we've heard old-timey Western sermons that re-reference the blood of Christ over and over again. And it seems to, in our hearts, maybe go contrary to our understanding of salvation. Because we say, you're saved by the blood of Christ, and that's it, boom, end of story. But we know as Orthodox that we embrace salvation as a process, as a lifetime experience, that our growth in the knowledge of the Lord extends into eternity. Yes, certainly throughout our lives we have these moments of great spiritual growth and epiphanies, but it's a process. It's a life-saving relationship. And we also tend to look at salvation a bit more positively, if we will, by saying that all human beings were created in God's image and likeness. That image and likeness has been soiled and stained and distorted, but God made all things good. And the goal of the Christian is to overcome that corrupted image so that our goodness can be fully restored. But we can't get around the words of Scripture, and Orthodox Christians should not be afraid of this idea of being saved by the blood of Christ. The exact sacrifice of Jesus Christ, as we have talked about in previous sermons, and will no doubt mention again, it is the only acceptable sacrifice. The only acceptable sacrifice. Human beings in every religion have a sacrifice because human beings know they've done wrong and they need to make up for it. And they want to sacrifice things, burn things, throw things off of cliffs, all sorts of things. And we know this is fundamental to our humanity. And as we've mentioned before, if I do something to hurt my wife's feelings, I will apologize, which is a sacrifice in itself, and I might go out and buy flowers as a sign of atonement. This is what that is. It's a sign of atonement. In Christianity, we have the one acceptable sacrifice, the only sacrifice that matters. Yet as we have mentioned before, God says to his people, look, you got the sacrifice part right, but there's only one sacrifice that works, and that's for my son to be sacrificed for your sins. Nothing you and I can do, no matter how much we fast, no matter how much we pray, and we should pray and fast, nothing you and I can do can compare to God becoming man, being crucified for our sins. Period. End of story. And yes, when we talk about the blood of Christ and being saved by the blood of Christ as Orthodox Christians, we are talking about communion, which is why we came to church today to receive communion. But then there's even more repetition for our mind to consider, and that is this morning's gospel reading, where we are reminded that if we are to be true followers of Jesus, then we are to humble ourselves and not worry about who's going to sit at the right hand and who's going to be first, because we need to be the servants and the slaves of all. True Christianity, true lived piety results in humility. Humility. Humility such that you and I desire to be the slaves and the servants of our fellow human being. Now we've said with this, that good learning, the mind, require repetition and novelty. Well, here's a novel thought for you. It's not an original thought, but one we don't think about a lot. And one of our young adults pointed out to me recently, and it has to do with Mary of Egypt. She was curious. She wanted to enter church, and she was stopped. Why was she stopped? Because she was so grossly impure. If you and I want to know God, want to know Christ, want to have experiences of the living God, we have to be pure. And we shouldn't expect, if we are living impure lives, to know God. So if we spend our times outside of church watching junk on TV, talking trash about our fellow human being, frittering our time away, using bad language, not fasting, not praying, and then we walk into church expecting that something glorious is going to happen, well, we should simply just be grateful that we're even allowed to walk into church at that point and that our own guardian angel hasn't stopped us from entering. The essence, if you will, of Great Lent is to remind ourselves how important purity is for our lives. And purity, like holiness, is something we struggle with our entire lives, but we should be struggling with purity. If you want to know God, if I want to know God, then we need to embark on the path of purifying our lives. Each one of us has a unique journey to finding that purity, but it is a journey that we have to embark upon and stay on. So, I would conclude this morning by reminding people of a thesis of mine that I think is absolutely true. Learning, quote-unquote, the faith is a lot like learning a language. We're around it, we listen to it, we assimilate it, we live it. And then along the way, we learn some rules too, so that the rules can keep us using that faith correctly, just like good grammar. Good grammar helps us to use a language correctly. But you and I can never learn how to be Christians with flashcards any more than you and I can learn another language simply by learning a vocabulary list. There is some repetition this morning for our mind. The repetition is this, that we should repent like Mary of Egypt, that we should be grateful for, seek after, long for the blood of Jesus, and that we should humble ourselves. But then our mind that desires novelty needs to think about something we don't think often enough about. If we want to know God, then we need to purify ourselves. And all of us knows what that means. Don't have to sugarcoat it. Don't have to explain it. We just have to do it. You see, dear brothers and sisters, the Sunday of Mary of Egypt is more to me than just the last Sunday of Great Lent. The Sunday of Mary of Egypt is an extraordinary opportunity to learn even better the language of Orthodox Christianity.